So what a story, right? I mean, we got wind and we got fire. We got all this stuff going on. And, you know, when I think about this story, we only really read it like once a year. And I think that this is so suited for our Pentecostal brothers and sisters. I mean, they got to love this story. I mean, after all, even their name, Pentecostal, comes out of this festival day called Pentecost. Now, for those of you in the room who attend here regular, who are Lutheran, we don't even know what to do with this story. Like, we kind of throw it up and say, okay, once a year, we can handle this. And we kind of grit our teeth, and we go, okay, I'm not really comfortable with speaking in tongues in church, but it's only if they're reading the story, we can totally deal with this, you know, and we'll be fine as long as, and some of you are praying this already, as we can talk about it, as long as the pastor doesn't ask us to raise our hands to, we'll be fine. We'll be good. You're Lutherans, I know. But here's the thing, is we get so hung up on this miracle, this whole speaking in tongues thing, that we miss the message. That there's a message behind this miracle, and the deal is, we don't even have control over miracles. They're totally God orchestrated, and when they happen, they happen. And the people who are recipients didn't have any control over it. It just happened. I would even go as far to say as if that happened here, this morning, right now, not only would we recognize it as a miracle because it is outside of us, I'm pretty sure none of us would say, no, God, no thank you, we're not into miracles here at Bethel Lutheran Church. And that's the way miracles work, is they come from God and they just happen. We don't turn them away. But when we're removed from the story, we get a little nervous and say, well, I'm not so sure about that. And I would bet you, though, that after the amazement of a miracle like that wore off, if it happened to us, we would come to an understanding of why the miracle was given. We would take some time and ponder and say, well, what is God trying to tell us by giving us such a miracle? And here's the thing, is that every miracle does have a message to it. I mean, sometimes it's for an individual. Sometimes it's for a group of people. Sometimes it's for even the world. But every miracle has a message. So we have to discern, even this morning in this Acts 2 reading, what is the message behind the miracle? So to do that, we really have to go to the beginning. We have to kind of go back to the beginning of this. And here's where we begin, is I want to tell you that Pentecost was Pentecost before it was Pentecost. Take that home, huh? There you go. Well, let me explain a little bit. Before it was this Christian holiday or this festival day, before the miracle of Pentecost, it was a Jewish celebration. It had nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever, and in Hebrew it was called Shavuot here, and also the Hellenized or the Roman-speaking, Greek-speaking Jews called it Pentecost, which translates the 50th day. Meaning the 50th day after Passover. And they celebrated two specific things on that holiday, on Pentecost, the Jewish folks did, and they still do. One was the ingathering of the wheat harvest. So it was the time when wheat would kind of be mature, they'd harvested in, and they would celebrate the fact that God provided them another wheat harvest that they're actually going to get to eat. So they'd bring offerings to the temple and celebrate that, but that wasn't the only thing. They also celebrated on that festival time the giving of the Torah, or the Hebrew Bible, from God to Moses to the people out in the desert. So it's a twofold celebration of, A, we get to eat, thank God, and thank God, God gave us his word so that we would know what God is thinking, that God is speaking to us. See, on the back of that, this Pentecost moment happens, and a couple of things happen that kind of mirror that. One is there is a harvest of new believers. It says about 3,000 believers were added to the group that day. Church grew by leaps and bounds in one day. So there was an ingathering or a harvest of new believers. And two, that God was still speaking to the people, not just through Torah, through the Hebrew Bible. And God wasn't done there, and God wasn't done when Jesus ascended into heaven, but that God was still connected to the people, and that God wasn't done speaking to us. Not only that, but this message of what happened, of people speaking in different languages, was a reminder. The message behind the miracle is that God wants us to connect not just to other Christians, but to connect to others as Christians. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing that there is a message behind the miracle. Now, here's the thing. We shouldn't be really surprised by the fact that God still wants to speak to us. You know, if you really boil this down, you go, okay, who loves you more than anyone else in the world? More than your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife or your kid? Who loves you more? God loves you more than any of those. And wouldn't it stand to reason that the one who loves you the most would want to stay in contact with you? Yeah. So God says, just so you know, I'm not done speaking. And not only that, but I'm entrusting you with a message so that you may tell others that God is still speaking. I remember back when I was a kid, one of the things that was a real big fad in growing up, and I was too young for this, but I remember it is, and I grew up in the country, so was CB radios. Like in the 70s, like people were putting them in their cars. And they were using them and talking on them. And you know, that back in the day, there was things like, you know, I watched Smokey and the Bandit, so I'm an expert on CB radios, okay? You know, like there's a bear in the air, which means there's a policeman in a helicopter. Or 10-4 good, buddy, means everything's good and yes. Or put the pedal to the metal because there's no police ahead. And then when you were just trying to get a hold of somebody, it was my favorite magazine growing up, CB Times. Yeah, Claude Akins, he's a hero. When trying to get a hold of somebody, you'd say, got your ears on. I can tell there's a lot of CB aficionados in the room this morning. I know, it's okay. But that phrase, you got your ears on, wasn't really originated with using a CB. It began with Jesus 2,000 years before. When he would tell stories, he would say, he who has ears, let them hear. How about that? He says, you got the equipment. You have the ability to hear me, but you need to tune me in. Oh, not only that, but the message today is God's still transmitting. I mean, God's a lot like a radio station to some degree. God is always broadcasting. God is still speaking to us today, even if you don't have the radio on. I mean, even in the real world, you know, when you're in the car and the radio is off, it doesn't mean nobody's broadcasting. They don't wait for you to turn on the radio and say, oh, somebody's listening, start playing music. It's always broadcasting. You just have to make sure you're tuned in to the right station. And the way life is, it's pulling us here, there, and everywhere. What's happening is that we have a lot of stations to choose from. I don't mean radio or TV. I just mean we have a lot of options out there pulling us, different voices talking to us. And only one of them is God. I mean, one of the reasons we come to church on Sunday is so that we're dialed in, like we're tuned in to the station so that we can hear what God has to say to us in a clear way. I mean, that's why we do what we do, is to say, okay, we're gonna quiet down, we're gonna tune into God radio, and we're gonna listen to see what God is up to. That's why we are here. So the question is, are we tuned in? So when God was broadcasting this miracle, this Pentecost miracle, God was saying, look, there's a message behind it, and it is to be connected to others, to be involved in each other's lives. It's not just about the message, it's about the connection. See, God sends the Spirit, and they start speaking in other languages, and they're talking to one another, and they're saying, oh, God's doing these things, and God's involved, and it's about me as a Christian, and it's about them who don't know, and it's kind of like this dance between God and humans and people, and it's all this stuff going on, and God's saying, I'm involved in people's lives. And so God says, it's not just words, it's a way of living. To be involved, to be loving, to remind those who aren't tuned in that God loves them too. I mean, think about it. God knows that not everybody's going to tune into this broadcast right here. I mean, I got empty seats. So what God does is saying, I can't just broadcast. I need to give the message to people so they'll take it out of here because some people will never come and hear this. Now, this was kind of hit home to me this week. BBC ran this story about a German robot. Maybe you saw this, I don't know. A German robot that has been programmed to give blessings to people in 8 different languages. Now, I'm going to show you a picture. This is true. This is not made up. But brace yourselves. It is scary. This is the actual robot. And it hit home to me that this message that God has for us on Pentecost to share it with others isn't just about words. It's about the human touch, because I look at that and think, no, thank you. I mean, I like the eyebrows. Somebody at first service said I needed to get some eyebrows and like put those on. But I get it. I mean, of course. Right. We're in the heart of Silicon Valley, right? This might be appealing. This might be a low-cost alternative to me. I mean, I'm not trying to get myself out of a job, but, you know, I'm just saying. The message is to be out in the world, to be involved in the messiness of life, and that God is still broadcasting. In a book by Pastor W.A. Amerson, in a book called She Beat Me Home, he relays this story. He goes back to 1930, to the reign of King George V in England. And he was to give an address at the 1930 Naval Conference. And it was a tumultuous political time in 1930, and it would get worse, as we know. I mean, probably not unlike the world we live in today. A little tumultuous. And he was to give an address pleading for world peace. It was supposed to be such a landmark address that he decided to see if it could be broadcast over the radio in as many countries that would broadcast it. Matter of fact, it ended up being 5 countries that would broadcast this address, including the United States. But as this address was getting ready to happen, something happened to the wire to the microphone. And unlike today where you have kind of plug-ins and it's pretty easy, this was all hardwired stuff. And one of the wires got frayed and it got broken. Just minutes before this address was to happen. And the person kind of in charge of the tech, which back then, this was a huge thing to broadcast a radio broadcast around the world, saw that this was not going to work. He doesn't have time to look for tools and how to make a fix. He sees the problem, and instead of trying to shut everything down and kind of rewiring everything and turn off the electricity, he just does what he can, and he basically reconnects the 2 wires and holds them in place, so that the king can make his broadcast around the world. His weighty message, his plea of peace, was able to happen because this employee of the broadcasting company was able to hold these 2 wires together so that the connection could be made. Now, as I think about this, today, in this world, people are still waiting to hear the message of the king, not King George V. And the only way that it's going to happen is if it's carried through us as his disciples. And so let me ask you, can the King's message of peace be transmitted through you? Because it happened on the day of Pentecost. It has continued to happen because we're here today. But it's time to carry that message of love and peace forward to those who aren't tuned in here. Amen.